The audio, that's working. Start the video. Let's see if that's working. Yep. We are ready to roll here. Where's the study? There it is. And we're ready. It's really nice to be here on the Very good. You made up for last week. That was very good. You know, we do blow that little skinny trumpet there. It's very unusual because most people are so familiar with just the ram's horn, you know, that we have over there. However, we try to do everything in memorial, as they did in the Bible. We all want a Messiah congregation, Kahal HaMashiach, just a little piece of the Israel of God, and Shabbat Shalom. It's another Sabbath, and we're going to pray and ask God to bless and anoint today's study. Heavenly Father, Master of the universe, Creator of all things, we come to you always first. Cover us in your holy blood of any sin, any blemish, any spot, any wrinkle, anything that would separate us from a holy living God. We pray today, Lord and God, you'll bless and anoint this Sabbath. Bless and anoint everyone that's with us here, everyone on Pow Talk, and everyone that would hear the messages in the future from the archived messages on the server. We pray you always put a wall of fire around and about our server, Lord and God. Bless and anoint this Sabbath. Bless the study. I pray you'll touch and heal everyone in the congregation of the Messiah. Take away any sickness, any disease, any ailments, anything, Father. Give us total shalom, peace on your holy day. Bless and anoint this reading today, the Sabbath. Let everything be done to the glory of the living God and to the edifying of the body of Messiah. And we pray your Holy Spirit will be in the midst of us, Heavenly Father. Bless everyone today. What a special blessing right from your throne, Lord and God, knowing that you're very aware of us. You hear us. You know the very murmurs of our hearts. Heavenly Father, let us know that more and more that you're with us in Yeshua's name. Amen. Shabbat Shalom. Amen. Amen. Yes. Well, today is the 26th of October. Not far from you know what, unfortunately. Yeah. I didn't see a lot of decorations on the way here, thank God. I was wondering what happened to the weasels. Maybe seen just a few. But anyway, it's the 26th of October, and it's 2013. You know, it's just amazing that it's going to be, pretty soon it'll be 2014. Doesn't that sound fake?
It does.
Anyway, we are in the 20th day of the month Bul, and it's the 8th month of God. And today we have nice cool weather, which I enjoy. I'm really happy it's nice and cool out there. There's the word Bul right there in 1 Kings 6:38, okay? And it's part of October and November. It's amazing. It's not Cheshvan or Mar Cheshvan as Judaism tries to tell everyone on their calendars. You guys all know that by now, right? We don't have any guests today, I see. Just the standard is here. That's good. That's very good. For your convenience, all the studies are still there on the websites. And feel free to enjoy them. I listen to some of them myself, and I'm always amazed when I hear dates, you know, 2006 and 2007 and 8, and I'm thinking, like, time is really going on here, you know? And you can download them and watch them and hear them and read them. We're on Pow Talk right now live streaming. You could actually see me right now, which is a technology we use. I'm trying to think of other technologies to use, too. We're on the Facebook, of course. But today I'm going to read my study, and it's a continuation of last week. Some more Bible facts. This is part two, God's greatness. I just love reading about God and how great he is, because most of the time you don't hear about God anywhere you go. It's always about how great man is. You know, I listen to a lot of, we have this thing called Netflix, and I go to the different science and section, and it has all these amazing inventions and discoveries of mankind and how they're manipulating DNA and they're they're, you know, super robotics this and super robotics that, and they got all this stuff. And to me, it's just wonderful. However, it's just right. It's everything. Right now, we are looking right at it. It's just that God has revealed to them how, different ways to mix it, to separate it, to combine it. In other words, all the technology anyone that's they're creating at the moment, even though they sound so brilliant, there's no new thing under the sun, because matter cannot be created or destroyed. And it's just, this thing's right in front of us. If we knew how to manipulate it and change it, we could do wonders. Just that we're, you know. So I just, you know, I'm happy that they found some of these things out. And some things sound a little curious why they look into certain things. Some people want to bring back the dinosaurs. We always have the... That's the first thing that comes out of our mouth. Why? Anyway, don't ask me. They think that's intelligent. I think that's ridiculous. That's dumb. Yeah. They get the big D. The big dumb. But anyway, let's read a little bit of Job today. These are going to be chapters of Job. So if you want to follow along on the internet or the screen or your Bible, okay? I'm going to read them to you, because this I love when I read chapters that Yehovah, God, is actually speaking. I mean, this is actually his words, the one who created the whole universe. Chapter 38. Jehovah answered Job out of the whirlwind and said, "Who is this that darkeneth counsel by words without knowledge? Gird up now thy loins like a man, for I will demand of thee. Answer thou me. Were you there? Where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? Declare if you have understanding." Who had measured them? Says, "Who had laid the measures thereof, if thou knowest? Or who had stretched the line upon it?" These are all scientific things that people are finally discovering, that God did all of this. "Whereupon are the foundations thereof fastened? Or who laid the cornerstone thereof? When the morning stars sang together and all the sons of God shouted for joy, where were you? Or who shut up the sea with doors when it brake forth as it had issued out of the womb?" You know, it always amazes me how the water stops right at that, you know, the right there. You know, it's amazing ocean, but it stops right at the brink, you know, of the at the shore. I always wonder why. Because God commanded it so. Otherwise, the whole place would just can be just flooded. So that's what he says. "Who shut up the sea with doors?" Yeah. "When I made the cloud the garment thereof, and the thick darkness a swaddling band for it, and break up for it my decreed place, and set bars and doors, and said, hitherto shalt thou come, but no further. And here shall thy proud waves be stayed." So to us, you know, it might be a tempestuous, amazing water and, you know, tsunami. God can just go, stop. And he did, too. "Hast thou commanded the morning since the days?" Isn't that interesting the way he says it? Who has created the morning and caused the day spring to know his place? Everything knows its place. Isn't it amazing? The moon and the sun and everything just does exactly what God says. It's all under his orders. It's amazing. "That it might take hold of the ends of the earth, that the wicked might be shaken out of it. It turned as a clay to the seal, and they stand as a garment. And from the wicked their light is withholden, and the right arm and the high arm shall be broken." Yes, exactly. "Hast thou entered into the springs of the sea? Or hast thou walked in the in the search of the depth. They found recently there's springs in the sea, and there's actually a shoreline, actually way down in the ocean somewhere. There's actually a whole lake that has an actual current of its own, like as if you were watching a lake.
Yeah.
And there's also springs in the sea. Has the gates of death been opened unto you? No. Or hast thou seen the doors of the shadow of death? Mm-mm. We have no idea what that means, death. Hast thou perceived the breadth of the earth? Declare if thou knowest it at all. Where is the way where light dwells? And as for darkness, where's the place thereof? Where is it? Because when I take away the sun and the moon, there's still light and darkness. Where does it come from? Yeah. That thou shouldest take it to the bound thereof, and that thou shouldest know the paths to the house thereof. We don't know the house of where the light dwells. I like the way he words everything. Knowest thou it because thou wast then born, or because the number of thy days is great? Just think, no matter how old you think you are, you're nothing compared to eternity. Yeah. Hast thou entered into the treasures of the snow? So that's what I'm telling you, things that we just take for granted. They're probably so... I was telling my wife that on the way to the congregation this morning. You know, because we drive, you know, we're driving over that hill, and we look, there's a bunch, just a bunch of rock wall, and, you know, you're just driving, and pretty trees and stuff. But I said to her, look at that rock wall. I said, right now it looks just like a rock wall, but I bet there's worlds of information if we got close to it with a magnifying glass or with a, you know, whatever instrument that we have, and you'll see... There's so many other things going on. Yep. But right now, this looks like a rock wall, and we're just driving by. So imagine the snow, how exciting it is. Every snowflake is unique, every one. Hast thou seen the treasures of the hail? Uh-uh. Which I have preserved against the time of... He preserves hail for the time of trouble, against the day of battle and war. He's got the big hail.
Yeah, the big hail.
Revelation says that there are 100 pounds, a talent. Mm-hmm. By what way is light parted, which scattered the east wind upon the earth? Who had divided a water course for the overflowing of waters, or a way for the lightning of the thunder? To cause it to rain on the earth where no man is, on the wilderness wherein there is no man. To satisfy the desolate and waste ground, lightning definitely nourishes the ground with, nitrogen or something? Mm-hmm. And to cause the bud of the tender herb to spring forth. Has the rain a father? Who created the rain? Or who had begotten the drops of dew? Out of whose womb came the ice and the hoary frost of heaven? Who had gendered it? Hoary frost of heaven. The waters are hid as with a stone, and the face of the deep is frozen. Which I'm sure they haven't found yet. And there's also waters above the earth, which they haven't found yet either. Because there was a firmament, and there was waters everywhere. They're always looking for water. Canst thou bind the sweet influences of Pleiades, or loose the bands of Orion? Canst thou bring forth Maseroth in his season? Or canst thou gird Arcturus with her... Arcturus with his sons? Knowest thou the ordinances of heaven? Canst thou set the dominion thereof in the earth? And of course, I wanted to go over this again. I did it real quick last week. Orion is known as the Hunter, a constellation lying on the celestial equator between Canis Major and Taurus, containing the bright stars of Betelgeuse and Rigel. That's Orion. That's how we know it nowadays. Arcturus is a first magnitude star in the constellation Bootes, the brightest star in the constellation Bootes, a red giant. That's what we know it as today. Pleiades is a conspicuous group or cluster of stars in the constellation Taurus. commonly spoken of as seven, though only six are visible. And of course, Maseroth is either a constellation or a group of constellations. I'm not really sure. I was watching some science things the other day, and the guy sounded, he thought he sounded really intelligent. I thought he sounded cuckoo. But, you know, because, you know, through a telescope, you know, you could see, like, you see all these lights. And most of them, believe it or not, are not stars. They're constellations. They're galaxies. So when you think you're looking at a star, it's actually a galaxy. And there's like, who knows how many. And these people, they think that, universe is expanding. That is the craziest thought I ever. No, they can't prove anything they say. They just say all this hypothesis, I guess, through whatever they think they're studying. But there's no. It sounds almost like fairy tales. And the black hole. They never seen one yet, but they know it's there, because of the way certain objects wobble and the way they, you know, emanate in the sky there. And I'm thinking, like, well, that's not science if you can't see the thing. Anyway, I'm so happy God put his stamp of approval on his own word. He says, he lifts up his own hand to heaven and says, I live forever. He says, no one could know the number of the stars. If you can go count the sand by the seashore, let me know. Every little grain. 2 Kings 23:5 says, and he put down the idolatrous priests whom the kings of Judah had ordained to burn incense in the high places in the cities of Judah and in the places round about Jerusalem, them also that burned incense unto Baal, to the sun and to the moon. See that word planets? I was looking in the Hebrew. It's actually Maserot. So I was wondering if it's really constellations and to all the hosts of heaven. So this word for planets actually is the same word that we see for constellations.
So for verse 32?
Yeah. So I put constellations there too, because I'm not sure they knew what it was. Yeah. Job says, we just read, there's Arcturus, Orion, Pleiades, the chambers of the south. Maseroth is in Job 38, which we're reading. We're reading that. It's even in the book of Amos. It says, seek him that makes the seven stars and Orion. They say seven stars, but they only see six at the moment. But God says there's seven, and I'm sure there is. Yeah. Anyway, canst thou lift up the voice to the clouds, that the abundance of waters may cover thee? Canst thou send lightnings, that they may go and say unto thee, here we are? Who had put wisdom in the inner parts, or who had given understanding to the heart? That's right. Who can number the clouds in wisdom, or who can stay the bottles of heaven? When the dust groweth into hardness, and the clots cleave fast together. Now, will you hunt for prey for the lion, or fill the appetite of the young lions, when they crouch in their dens and abide in the covert to lie in wait? Who provided for the raven his food, when his young ones cry unto God, they wander for lack of meat? Just think, all those little birds out there. I know sometimes we have little birds things that we try to feed them, but believe me, God's taking care of them a lot, you know. Do you know the time when the wild goats of the rock bring forth? Or can you mark when the hinds do calf? Can you number the months that they fulfill, or knowest the time when they bring forth? They bow themselves, they bring forth their young ones, they cast out their sorrows. Their young ones are in good liking, they grow up with corn, they go forth and return not unto them. Who had sent out the wild ass free? Or who had loosed the bands of the wild ass? Whose house have I made the wilderness and the barren lands his dwelling. He scorneth the multitude of the city, neither regardeth he the cry of the driver. Right? You know how mules are stubborn, right? The range of the mountains is in his pasture. He searcheth after every green thing. Will the unicorn, which we're not really sure what that is today, will the unicorn be willing to serve you or abide by thy crib? He's obviously something very big. Canst thou bind a unicorn with bands in the furrow? Or will he howl the valleys after thee? Wilt thou trust him because his strength is great? Or wilt thou leave thy labor to him? Wilt thou believe him that he will bring home thy seed and gather it into thy bonds? Gavest thou the goodly wings unto the peacocks? You ever see it's amazing, the male peacocks are so beautiful. Yeah. Or wings and feathers unto the ostrich? Who did that? Now the poor ostrich, which leaves her eggs in the earth and warmeth them in the dust, and forgetteth that the foot may crush them, or that the wild beast may break them. So they lack understanding, you know. She is hardened against her young ones, as though they were not hers. Her labors in vain, without fear, because God had deprived her of wisdom. Neither had he imparted unto her understanding. Isn't that sad? I guess it has to do. It has to feed something else, you know. What time she lifted up herself on high, she scorned the horse and his rider. Hast thou given the horse strength? Hast thou clothed his neck with thunder? Horses are strong, you know. Canst thou make him afraid as a grasshopper? The glory of his nostrils is terrible. He poureth in the valley and rejoiceth in his strength. He goeth on to meet the armed man. You ever notice that? They had that a long time ago. All the horses with the knights and all the soldiers, they all just went forth. They weren't afraid of anything. Isn't that weird? That's pretty amazing. He mocks at fear and is not affrighted, neither turneth he back from the sword. The guy could be waving a sword at him. He's still going to go forth. The quiver rattled against him, his glittering spear and shield. He swallowed the ground with fierceness and rage. He's attacking. Neither believeth he that it is the sound of the trumpet. He don't care about what you're sounding. He said it among the trumpets, ha, ha. He smelled the battle afar off, the thunder of the captains and the shouting. That's a horse. It's amazing. Now we're going to talk about a hawk. Does a hawk fly by your wisdom and stretch it her wings toward the south? She stretches her wings toward the south. Doth the eagle mount up at your command and make her nest on high? Eagle's nests are on high. She dwells and abides on the rock, upon the crag of the rock and the strong place. From thence she seeketh her prey. Her eyes behold afar off. Yeah, they could see far off. Her young ones also suck up blood where the slain are. There is she. And we see a lot of vultures, obviously, eating the... We've seen a couple lately eating some deers that were unfortunate, got hit by cars, and we see all the little vultures having a picnic. They're doing what they're supposed to do, what God gave them to do. They're the little, they clean the earth. Jehovah answered Job again and said, shall he that contendeth with the Almighty instruct him? He that reproveth God, let him answer it. Job answered Jehovah and said, behold, I'm vile. Good answer. What shall I answer thee? I will lay my head upon my mouth. Once have I spoken, but I will not answer. Yea, twice I will not proceed no further. Then answered Jehovah unto Job out of the whirlwind and said, gird up your loins now like a man. I will demand of thee, declare thou unto me. Wilt thou also disannul my judgment? Wilt thou condemn me, that thou mayest be righteous? Some people do that without knowing it, you know. Mm-hmm. Hast thou an arm like God, or canst thou thunder with a voice like him? Deck thyself now with majesty and excellency, and array thyself with glory and beauty. Cast abroad the rage of thy wrath, and behold everyone that is proud, and abase him. Look on everyone that is proud, and bring him down low, and tread down the wicked in their place. Hide them in the dust together, and bind their faces in secret. Then will I also confess unto thee that thine own right hand can save you. Behold now, Behemoth, which I have made with thee, he eats grass as an ox. Lo, now his strength is in his loins, and his force is in the navel of his belly. He moves his tail like a cedar. That almost sounds like a dinosaur, huh?
Yeah.
The sinews of his stones are wrapped together. It's very tight, the sinews. His bones are a strong piece of brass. His bones are like the brass of iron. His bones are as strong pieces of brass. His bones are like bars of iron. He is the chief of the ways of God. He that made him can make his sword to approach unto him. That's right. Surely the mountains surely the mountains bring him forth food, where all the beasts of the field play. He lieth under the shady trees in the covert of the reeds and fens. The shady tree covered him with their shadow. The willows of the brook compassed him about. Behold, he drinketh up a river and hasteth not. He trusteth that he can draw up Jordan with his mouth. It's a big animal. He taketh it with his eyes. His nose pierceth through the snares. So that was Behemoth, whatever that is. And now we have Leviathan, or in Hebrew, Leviathan. Canst thou draw out Leviathan with the hook, or his tongue with a cord, which thou lettest down? Canst thou put a hook in his nose, or bore him his jaw through with a thorn? Will he make many supplications unto you? Will he speak soft words unto you? Will he make a covenant with you? Wilt thou take him for a servant forever? Wilt thou play with him as with a bird? Or wilt thou bind him for thy maidens? Shall the companions make a banquet of him? Shall they part him among the merchants? Canst thou fill his skin with barbed iron, or his head with fish spears? Lay thy hand upon him. Remember the battle. Do no more. Behold, the hope of him is in vain. Shall not one be cast down even at the sight of him? None is so fierce that dare stir him up. Who then is able to stand before me? God says, yeah, really. I mean, I don't know. It seems foolish to try to fight against God. Who had prevented me that I should repay him? Whatsoever is under the whole heaven is mine. That's the whole universe. I will not conceal his parts, nor his power, nor his comely proportion. Who can discover the face of his garment, or who can come to him with his double bridle? Who can open the doors of his face? His teeth are terrible round about. His scales are his pride, shut up together as with a close seal. One is so near to another that no air can come between them. That's quite a skin, you know. They are joined one to another. They stick together that they cannot be sundered. Can't be cut, huh? Can't pry them apart either. By his kneezing, a light doth shine, and his eyes are like the eyelids of the morning. Kneezing is a
sneezing.
Okay. Out of his mouth goes burning lamps, and sparks of fire leap out. Out of his nostrils go smoke, as of the seething pot or cauldron, his breath kindled coals, and the flame goeth out of his mouth. Sounds like a fire-eating dragon or something. In his neck remains strength, and sorrow is turned into joy before him. Sorrow is turned into joy before him. The flakes of his flesh are joined together. They are firm in themselves. They cannot be moved. His heart is as firm as a stone, yea, as hard as a piece of the nether millstone. When he raised it up himself, the mighty are afraid. By reason of breaking, they purify themselves. The sword of him that laid at him cannot hold, the spear, the dart, nor the habergeon. He esteemeth iron as straw, and brass as rotten wood. The arrows cannot make him flee. Slingstones are turned unto him into stubble. Darts are counted as stubble. He laugheth at the shaking of a spear. Sharp stones are unto him. He spreadeth sharp pointed things under the mire. He maketh the deep to boil like a pot. What does that mean? He maketh the sea like a pot of ointment. He maketh a path to shine after him. One would think the deep to be hoary. Upon earth there is none the like, there is not his like, who is made without fear. He beholdeth all things, all high things. He is the king over all the children of pride. Yeah, it's pretty amazing. So we just have these couple of creatures, and, you know, I guess nowadays, and it's been for years, you know, they're always looking for these, there are dragons in the earth. They still have that, the Komodo dragon and different animals and lizards that can actually grow as big as you could let them. There's certain animals that can just keep growing and growing and growing. God's creatures are amazing. Now here's the expansion of the universe and the Big Bang theory. They are lies. That's all I can tell you. And I was listening to all these scientists the other day, and I love science, but they all start with their premise with the Big Bang, which immediately casts a red flag. You know, it makes me just say, oh no, because then the fairy tale is going to start proceeding, because the Big Bang. I mean, there's no way in the world nothing exploded. They say it so emphatically, nothing exploded. How could nothing explode? And if you have a certain area, how could it expand? Because there's nothing on, there's no outside of it. This is the whole thing. God said he already expanded the universe. It's finished. The whole heaven, and God talks about the universe a lot, but he uses other words called the whole heaven. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth, and the heavens and the earth were finished. They're not spreading out. They're finished, and all the host of them. It's over. I just think they keep seeing more and more with the different telescopes they create, right, and they think it's expanding. No, maybe their view is expanding of what they're seeing. These are the generations of the heavens and of the earth when they were created, in the day that the Jehovah God made the earth and the heavens. And there's no such thing as, of course, certain kinds of evolution. Remember, I read the six kinds the other day. We only believe in one kind, where there's a variation in the species. All the other ones are just make-believe. Because it says right here, every plant of the field before it was in the earth, and every herb of the field before it grew. So the chicken came first, right? For Jehovah God had not caused it to rain upon the earth, and there was not a man to till the ground. Chapter 7 of Genesis says, the waters prevailed exceedingly upon the earth, and the high hills that were under the whole heaven were covered. The high hills. Deuteronomy 2 says, this day will I begin to put the dread of thee and the fear of thee upon the nations that are under the whole heaven. Who shall hear report of thee shall tremble, and be in anguish against thee because of thee. Deuteronomy says, hast thou lifted up thine eyes unto the heaven? And when thou seest the sun and the moon and the stars, even all the host of heaven, shouldest thou be driven to worship them and serve them, which Jehovah thy God had divided unto all nations under the whole heaven? Heaven? He looketh to the ends of the earth and see it under, God can see under the whole heaven. Now the word heaven, I should let you know, in Hebrew it's actually in the plural. It's hashamayim, right? So it's always in the plural, even though it says heaven, it's also heavens, right? He directed it under the whole heaven and his lightnings under the ends of the earth. Who had prevented me that I should repay him? Whatsoever is under the whole heaven is mine. God owns everything under the in the whole universe. So this term, under the whole heaven, is just in numerous places. I'm not going to read all these to you, just to let you know that God is very aware of the whole heavens. Okay. Look what it says right here. I have made the earth and stretched and created man upon it. Even my hands have stretched out the heavens. It's over. And all the host have I commanded. It says, he had made the earth by his power, he had established the world by his wisdom, and had stretched out the heavens by his discretion. And everyone should know, the heavens are not eternal, right? The universe is not eternal. You know that, right? He says, behold, I create new heavens and a new earth. The former shall not be remembered nor come into mind. For as the new heavens and the new earth which I shall make shall remain before me, saith Jehovah, so shall your seed and your name remain. Brother Peter makes it very clear that he read Isaiah. He says, the Lord's going to come as a thief in the night, and that's obviously to the ones that are not watching for him, in the which the heavens, the universe shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burnt up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hastening unto the coming of the day of God? Where in the heavens, he says it again, being on fire shall be dissolved, and the actual elements are going to melt with a fervent heat. Yeah. And then he tries to comfort us. He says, nevertheless, I read a book of Isaiah, and we'll let you know. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwells righteousness. And then Brother John says, I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea, no more oceans. And just to clarify this in everyone's mind, here's some background. A new heaven and a new earth, not a renewed heaven. I should have put nor and a renew earth. Renew is not new. The word renew is a verb, and the word new is an adjective. Okay, and everyone should know that if you know basic grammar. And if you don't, here's the Hebrew. In Hebrew, the vowels can be changed. That they can change the gender. So we have brith hadashah. So we have a feminine noun with a feminine adjective. Brith is a feminine noun and it needs a feminine adjective, which is hadashah. So it's not a renewed covenant. It's a new covenant. If you know Hebrew a bit, the word renew has a patak. It looks like a little line under the first letter and a chet and a tzrei. The two dots under the second letter and a dalet, right? The word new in Hebrew has a chamatz, looks like a little T under it, under both the chet and the dalet. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, I don't know how to explain it to you, except you have to read it. And you got to remember, renewed is a verb. That's the easy thing to remember. And here's all the verses with renewed. I'm not going to read them to you, but there's a bunch of them that it shows you that it's a verb, okay? These are all the verses with renewed, okay? And the word for renewed, by the way, is chadesh. Hadesh. It ain't Hadash. So you got to make sure you say it correctly. And that's all renewed right there. So we're going to have a new heavens and a new earth. And this one that everyone's trying to study, they can keep studying it, but they're never going to know what God has made. You know, sometimes when I go to sleep at night, I always think, oh God, could you just take me in a dream and cruise me through the universe that you made? I'd love to see everything you got going on out there. Wouldn't you like to see that?
Yeah.
I mean, it's just like, just think about like a couple of billion miles from here. There's still a universe, and there's something over there that we just can't see. Only God could take us there. And maybe one day, I'd love to see that more than anything. Anyway, that's my short study for today, and nothing, no one's like God, and nothing can be like God, and that's why we trust in God and the little things that go on with us. I always think, you're our Father, we're your children, and we need help. And God helps us, because he's attentive to those that fear him and keep his commandments, and he loves those that fear him and keep his commandments, and I thank God. And I believe in God for big things. I want God to open doors for souls and avenues to go witness and talk to people. And there's got to be something happening, right? We got to believe God for more and more. And we live by faith. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this study this morning, on your Sabbath, this afternoon, I should say, knowing that we can't even express how great you are and put it into this language that we have in English. But you are the God of gods and the Lord of lords. There's none like unto you. You're the only God there is. And I just thank and praise you. You're our Father, and we're your children. Heavenly Father, bless and anoint the rest of the Shabbat. Touch everyone today with an understanding like never before, and a discernment, and a reasoning that we never had before about who you are. Heavenly Father, we thank and praise you. Bless the food, the singing, anything we do today. Let it be to the glory of God and the edifying of our bodies. Help us with nutrition. Help us with finances. Help us with just help our mental capacity. Heavenly Father, I pray that you'll keep us in your hands and be with us every step in our life that we take. Everywhere we go, lead, guide, and direct us. Heavenly Father, bless and anoint everyone today in Yeshua's name on your holy Sabbath. Amen. Shabbat Shalom, everyone. And I thank God we are here today. So I'm going to stop the audio.